That was a line drive off the top of the wall.
There it is. Pete Alonso fires the bat up. He's your Home Run Derby champion of 2019.
I wanted to win that thing. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think I could win it. I just got tired. 1 minute left, and didn't do enough. Needed to get those ones that hit off the top of the wall over the fence.
Just overall, what did you make on with Vlad and Pete Alonso did tonight?
Incredible. It's just great. It's guys, young guys that are just absolute monsters, and it's fun to watch them hit. Fun, not so fun to play against them, but it is at the same time fun to play against them.
Mad Radio, good morning on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Fun night last night in Major League Baseball with a home run derby that featured one of the best displays that you will ever see with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who I don't think he looks like his dad when it comes to like his body. I mean, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a big boy, but boy, when you watch him swing, he reminds me almost exactly like his father. I don't know what it is. Like, it's hard to even put into words. But I don't know if it's like the high follow through or just the way that he is just swinging with reckless abandon. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is somebody who is and is going to be a star across Major League Baseball. Cecil Shorts is going to be in with me this morning on a Tuesday. And I just want to start there real quick because I have mixed feelings in the Home Run Derby. I'm 33 and the Home Run Derby when I was a kid was a big deal, was a very big deal. And then it kind of got to the point where I don't know. There was something about it that it kind of, the Home Run Derby sort of wore me out. Like, I got tired of it between how long it was and between sitting there and listening to Chris Berman go, back, 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 back. I was kind of like over the Home Run Derby. But I think they've done a better job in the last couple of years of getting me into it. And a lot of these contests, when it's a specific skill, it really comes down to the individuals that are involved. Like, are they actually interesting? Do they have good personalities? And last night, they had interesting and fun personalities in this Home Run Derby. So, in a weird way, kind of like Josh Hamilton 11 years ago when he put on a show at Yankee Stadium, but he was actually not the guy that won the Home Run Derby. The person who stole the show last night, Vlad Guerrero Jr., was not the one who actually ended up winning, and yet the people's champion, and truly the people's champion last night, Cecil Shorts, was Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Absolutely. It was fun to see. I guess for me, I was cheering for him from the jump just because of who he is.
Yes.
This is because he's the son of the great one. But just to see him and his interaction. Now, does he speak any English?
It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it. Is that which is interesting in and of itself.
Right.
Like, is that odd? Am I allowed to say?
Because his dad played in the league for how long?
For a long time. For probably 19 years.
He was here and would know a little bit because it didn't seem like he was trying really. But I'm not sure where he grew up. You know what I mean? Because that could have been a big factor, where he grew up,
yeah,
where he spent most of his time. And he's only, you know, he's still super young.
Yes. Candidly, I don't know exactly what his background is as far as like where he grew up and all that. But yeah, it's the weird thing about him in general is that I remember, because I'm 33, I remember Vlad when he was young, when he was the next big thing. So this whole thing has been really bizarre to me because I've seen sons of people who I watch play. Mm. Like that can happen pretty young in life,
yeah.
But it's more rare when you're at the age when you saw the guy's dad play, and you saw the guy's dad play when he was the next big thing,
yeah.
And now his son is the next big thing.
Yeah,
that's the kind crazy of thing that'll make me feel a little bit old.
But it was a lot of fun watching him bang them things last night.
It was.
I mean, he was shooting them out there. I mean, even hitting the scoreboard a couple of times, and it was pretty cool just to see how powerful and how young you can be. And he was just racking them things up, man.
My only complaint, as I have every year, I think the contest is a little bit too long.
I agree.
They wear out. Like, I'm one of those people, like, unless it's an actual game, and even the games themselves, I want to be as short as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to, like, one-off events, I want them to be, like, two and a half hours max. It always feels like the Home Run Derby is a little bit too long.
How many rounds is it total? Three?
Last night was weird because we kept having ties.
Yeah.
and one side of the bracket. So I think it's three rounds, basically. Like the initial one, the semifinals, and then the final.
Yeah.
Last night dragged a little bit longer because Vlad and Jock Peterson went back and forth a couple of times. So that's what kind of led to that. But I thought overall a fun night for Major League Baseball. I was not expecting to be as entertained as I was last night. There were people, Cecil, who were not sure that Vlad Guerrero Jr. belonged in the Home Run Derby.
Oh, he proved him wrong.
Those people were proven wrong last night. So Cecil Shorts is in with me on a Tuesday. I also want to begin with this idea. And you played wide receiver in the NFL for a long time, so you tell me if I'm crazy on this, because some people who I'm friends with in town feel like I'm being too optimistic about this point. I believe if they stay healthy, the Texans' top three receivers can be the best wide receiver trio in the NFL. Hopkins, Fuller, and QT. I think those guys are so good, so talented, and so well complementary of each other that this could be the best set of three receivers in the NFL if those guys actually stay healthy.
I totally agree. And I think it's a credit to the positions that they play. So you mentioned how they complement each other so well. Hopkins, number one, he can do anything and everything, right? He's your number one receiver, best in the league as far as last year, and he is outstanding. He can run any route, not going to necessarily run by you, but when that ball's in the air, 95% of the time it seems like he's catching the ball every time. And then with Will Fuller on the outside, and he has progressed on this being his fourth year in the league coming up. He has progressed every single year, even though he hasn't played a full season yet. You can see his development over time. Yes, he can take the top off the defense, but at the same time, he can catch a short route like he did against Miami, make a guy miss, and go for 40 yards.
Yep.
And then what people don't know about him, he's a tough guy after the catch. So I was watching film last night. I think it was the Giants game. He caught a pass over the middle, and he put his head down and runs the safety over.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, he runs him over. Isn't shy about it, but runs him over.
One of the few good things in that game. One of the very few.
And then I think he gets overlooked because he's a rookie. I think he gets overlooked because he's a shorter guy in the slot. But the slot position is so important to the Houston Texans offense and what they want to do. I hate to compare it to the Patriots, but if you look at the Patriots offense, that's kind of they run similar things. And if you look at how important Wes Welker was, Julian Edelman was, Danny Amendola was, that's what Kiki is to this offense. And it's an outlet for Deshaun if they can be on the same page, little short option routes, just little things underneath or intermediate that he, I mean, his first game last year, he had 11 catches.
Yes.
His first game as a rookie. That's crazy.
And it felt to me like one of those deals, Cecil, where Bill O'Brien had been searching for his right kind of slot receiver.
For years. For a long time.
And then I turn on that game after getting home from the pregame, and it's like, all right, we found him.
Yeah.
They have found the slot receiver. Like, sometimes in sports, it might take some time to kind of, like, percolate or develop. That was like, boom, this guy's the slot receiver. You could just tell.
The quickness, like, he
seems to fit that position so well with the quickness, with the hands, with the way that he's built. He just has to stay healthy.
That's all he has to do. I mean, you mentioned it before. They have that's the biggest thing. They have to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing. We'll see how Will Fuller comes back from the ACL. I'm confident he'll come back, especially nowadays with the technology and the science. He can come back at full strength, whenever that is. I'm not sure if it's the first week of training camp or sometime during that time. And I'm sure they'll bring him back on a set plan for him. But Kiki, he looks good. He looks like he's ready.
Yeah, he looked good in OTAs.
He looks like he's ready, man. And the thing is, it's hard to pick up that offense. It's so hard, and he picked it up like that, so quick. So that's a great sign that he is going to be something special here.
What makes it so hard to pick up this kind of offense? Because we've always heard that.
Well, especially for a slot receiver, you have to know. So when you come in, like, for example, when I came in 2015, man, they came in, they gave me 100 formations.
100.
right off the bat, 100 formations at least. So you have to know where you line up, and it's so many different calls. So it might sound similar, but you might be on the other side, or you might be outside left or outside right. We have to know where to line up. You have to know what the defense is in, man or zone. You have to know if you're hot or not. So Deshaun will come up. You ever see Deshaun point to a certain guy with one hand or point to a linebacker with two hands?
Yep.
He's saying, hey, it takes two. If he's two hands, it takes two. That means it takes two guys to blitz, and you're hot as a receiver. Or if it's one hand, I'm like, hey, it takes one, and you're hot as a receiver. So you got to pay attention to guy if that guy blitzes. If he blitzes, you're hot. Then you have a certain hot route.
So when he's pointing in that direction, that's basically putting that receiver on alert. Like, hey, if this guy comes,
yep.
then you're the hot guy.
Yep.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep. So then after that, you have to understand what you're doing in the play.
Yeah. And the that play, part.
That part, right? And the play dictates on the coverage. So, like, if Kiki has an option route, if it's zone, he'll sit down in coverage and find the hole. If it's man, he has to beat his man and get open.
Yep.
So just a lot, especially for a rookie, it's just a lot going on in your head. And for him to be able to pick it up and make plays throughout this year as a rookie, it's pretty incredible.
It was right away. And I was for whatever reason, wasting my time and arguing with people on Twitter last year about how, you know, people got frustrated late in the season, like November, December. Like, why don't they just put QT on IR? Like, why are they just waiting for this guy to come back? I'm like, listen, because when he comes back, he's a difference maker.
Yeah.
And he was literally the only positive in the playoff game against Indianapolis. The only positive. That was it. I mean, that was the only guy who came to play in that game. And you could see why they were so cautious in wanting to bring him back because of what he provides. So I'm heading into the season with a lot of skepticism, but also some genuine optimism with a few areas on this Texans team. 2.5 weeks from training camp, 16 days. Deshaun, for me, is a big positive. But this receiving core, again, with that big if they can stay healthy. But when you look at these three guys, DeAndre, Fuller, and Kiki, if I drew up a receiving core in a lab, I think it would come out something like this, where you have like a bigger guy in DeAndre who's a physical guy, can catch everything. Fuller, speed, route running. And then QT, like a master underneath guy who's like a vacuum cleaner when it comes to catching passes. I just think that, and I don't know if they intended it to be this way because they're two different GMs, but ultimately, Rick Smith and Brian Gain, I think, put together a really nice top three receiving core on this football team. That's how it ended up here.
They did a good job. Teamwork. They teamwork.
Teamwork, yes.
One of them drafted, or two, I guess, Rick drafted, of course, D-Hop, and then Will Fuller. So
indeed.
Will Fuller coming out of Notre Dame, 23rd pick, was it?
I think 23rd. They moved up one or two spots to get him.
And he was a speed demon. Everybody knew how fast he was.
Questionable hands.
His rookie year, he had a few big drops, if I'm not mistaken. But he really improved his hands throughout the next 2 years.
Absolutely. And especially last year, people forget. Like, I don't think he dropped a pass last season. That's the level that we've gotten to.
So he played 7 games last year.
Yes.
So Hopkins didn't drop a pass in 16 games. And then Will Fuller didn't drop a pass in 7 games. That's impressive.
Again, the whole key is they just have to stay healthy. But this is one of the two things I am most excited about this season. One being Deshaun Watson, two being this. If these guys can stay healthy, I really believe that Hopkins, Fuller, and QT can be the best trio of receivers in the NFL.